In just a moment, Generations with Kevin Swanson. But first, this. The World View in 5 minutes.
It's Friday, May 22nd, 2015 AD. This is The World View in 5 minutes. I'm Adam McManus. In what many are calling a stunning military victory, ISIS has taken the Syrian city of Palmyra and now controls over half the country. Only 1,300 of the city's 65,000 souls were able to flee the city before it was taken. ISIS was reportedly going door to door, pulling people from their houses. Besides the obvious threat to human life, many are deeply concerned about a valuable archaeological site and its possible destruction in Palmyra. A recent report says 63 Christian churches in Syria have been damaged badly or destroyed since the beginning of the civil war. Lord, how long shall the wicked, how long shall the wicked triumph? Psalm 94:3. The Syrian army is amassing outside the city for a counterstrike. May God be with them. Not only do the jihadists seem to be targeting churches and archaeological sites, they're targeting women as well. The New York Times published a report this week with gruesome details of their ungodly willful practices, which include systematic rape of very young girls, buying and selling them, and even praying to the false Muslim god before violating them, hoping that they would be pregnant with children that would share their ideals. Christian writer Anne Voskamp, who recently visited refugees in northern Iraq, said, quote, ISIS sells 9-year-old girls in slave bazaars. They are categorized, stripped, and shipped naked, sold and passed around like meat. ISIS has institutionalized sexual violence and the brutalization of women, unquote. The United Nations reports one girl was, quote, married, unquote, more than 20 times, each time forced to undergo surgery to allegedly restore her virginity. Who will rise up for me against the evildoers? Who will take a stand against the workers of iniquity? Psalm 94:16. China is doing something pretty scary. Just Wednesday, the United States Air Force reported it was warned by the Chinese Navy 8 times to leave an area in the middle of international waters. It seems China has built islands that are now military bases in the middle of the South China Sea. Some are calling these illegal territory grabs gigantic, unsinkable aircraft carriers. U.S. officials said they do not recognize these man-made structures as new territory for China, and they are concerned this buildup is the beginning of worse news. Financial news from China has locals there worried, too. 2 mystery financial crashes have cost China's richest man and another billionaire untold wealth. China's richest man, Li Hejun, lost $15 billion in 30 minutes on Wednesday when shares in the company plummeted. Then, Thursday, Golden Financial and Golden Properties, owned by billionaire Pan Xitong, lost 40% of its value. America's streets have been filled with violence this year, on many occasions after perceived injustices perpetrated by white policemen on black suspects. Racial activists have taken these opportunities to widen the divide between people of different races while church leaders battle to close it. The World View spoke to Dr. Carlton McLeod, pastor of Calvary Revival Church of Chesapeake, Virginia, to hear what he had to say about how these things have affected the church.
You would think that those who have been redeemed by Christ's blood, been chosen by him, and who have had the faith to believe imparted by him, that despite our day-to-day practical sin, we would press towards a Holy Spirit, Scripture-driven look at the ills of the day. So the melanin content in our skin would not be the overriding factor.
It seems we hear more about extremist Muslims every day, but seldom do we hear something that makes us laugh. Recently, the U.S. military declassified documents found at the compound where Osama bin Laden was killed. Among the many things found were, quote, job applications, unquote, for prospective jihadists. Sounds like the setup for a great punchline on late night, doesn't it? Complete with a series of questions, like one would answer if getting a job at a convenience store, were a few less than usual questions. Questions like, would you be willing to be a suicide bomber? And, How long have you been in the land of the jihadists? The Bible says God will laugh when the calamity of these men comes upon them. Proverbs 1:26. Not only does God laugh, but so should we. Proverbs 17:22 reminds us that laughter is good, like a medicine. Funny man late-night talk show host David Letterman signed off in style early Thursday morning to end 33 years of dealing out doses of the good stuff. Whether it was jumping on a trampoline in a suit covered in Alka-Seltzer into a water tank, or sticking his entire body against a wall while covered in Velcro, Letterman made people laugh night after night, year after year. Innovator of countless zany antics, he offered viewers his last top 10 list with a mega star-studded lineup. Celebrities who listed the top 10 things they've always wanted to say to Dave included Bill Murray, Tina Fey, Chris Rock, Peyton Manning, Julia Louis-Dreyfus, Jim Carrey, Jerry Seinfeld, Steve Martin, Barbara Walters, and Alec Baldwin. They all gave the long-running late-night host a gentle ribbing. Joy is one of God's greatest gifts. And that's the worldview in 5 minutes on this Friday, May 22nd, in the year of our Lord, 2015. I'm Adam McManus. Seize the day for Jesus Christ.
Welcome, my friends, to the Generations Radio Broadcast. It's Kevin Swanson, your host, with a homeschool father of five, raising our kids out here on the eastern plains of Colorado, Bill Jack, also in studio with me today as we take a look at what's happening to our country, going off the tracks, man, economically, socially, sexually, morally, going off the tracks, and I'm not saying something I haven't said before. We are seeing the systematic destruction of Western civilization in front of us. Almost half of kids born to women under 30 years of age, born out of wedlock. America embracing homosexual marriage, the neuronic agenda, the agenda Nero, the worst emperor, the most tyrannical king that probably ever lived in the history of the world, the most despicable man who ever lived, came up with the idea of homosexual marriage in roughly AD 66, and now being practiced across the United States and advocated everywhere. It looks like the Supreme Court of the United States is going to endorse it and press persecution towards anybody who might take exception to the neuronic agenda. Well, our nation careening off the tracks. Would you say that's a good metaphor, Bill?
Yeah, the train has left the station.
That's right. And probably, let's say, going about twice the speed limit on that curve.
Yeah. Yeah. The curve is coming up.
And we're headed about 104 mile per hour. And who's the engineer? Who's driving this train?
Yeah. Who's moving this agenda?
Well, you know, it turns out, remember the Amtrak wreck
out in Philadelphia, a couple weeks ago?
You know the engineer that was in the center of the crash?
The one who can't remember what happened?
That's right. Brandon Bostian.
Yeah.
It's a 32-year-old homosexual activist. Yeah, fought for Prop 8 out in San Francisco and has been interviewed as a gay activist on television shows as late as 2012. That's right.
So he went out to, he took the Amtrak out to California and fought against Prop 8.
Yep. Drove that train all the way into San Francisco.
Right into the bay.
And then he brought it back into Philadelphia and took that baby at 104 mile per hour, double the speed limit and off the tracks, and seven, eight people died.
Yeah.
Okay, so anyway.
There's a metaphor here.
Don't take it past the metaphor, friends. I think a very helpful metaphor as to who's driving the train and where he's going to take the nation. And we're going off the tracks.
Yep.
We're going off the tracks, Bill. We're going off the tracks. Nation's going off the tracks and leading this. Wow. Are the Kevin Jennings of the world. You know what Kevin Jennings is?
No.
He's the sex czar for public schools in America.
Oh, is he?
I believe. I don't know if that's his title, but close enough, you know.
Oh, okay.
But yeah, Kevin Jennings is a homosexual activist that put 4,000 or 5,000 GLSEN clubs in American public schools, K-6 schools, junior highs, high schools, all around the nation. So anyway, the point being that the guys are driving the trains are homosexuals today. Now, my father is always baffled at this. He says, how is it that 3% of Americans are putting 45% of evangelicals in jail? How does that work exactly?
you follow where my dad's going with
yes,
this.
Yes, I do. Yeah.
His mind is boggled a bit on this. That so many evangelicals, you still see a lot of churches in American cities and towns. Amen?
Amen.
So if you've got 35 million, 45 million, 60 million, 20, 30% of Americans still attend church and attend somewhat conservative evangelical churches, and 2 to 3% are this close to putting pastors in prison for not officiating homosexual weddings, and are slapping fines of $135,000 on Christian couples who own bakeries out in Oregon. How does this work? Except that, evidently, whoever's driving the train is running this baby at 105 miles per hour around a 50 mile per hour.
Around the curve.
And that kind of momentum will take the train where?
Off the track.
All right. Be back in just a moment. This is Kevin Swanson, Bill Jack, also hosting. Dads, is it time to get away with your sons to build those important relationships? Remember, fruitful relationships is what it takes to have a fruitful life. And how you disciple your son has everything to do with building those relationships. Here's an opportunity for you. Don't miss a once-in-a-lifetime experience at our Father-Son Retreat at the Crooked Creek Ranch in the Colorado Rockies this September. This year, we will be featuring speakers like Scott Brown, Dan Einerson, Steve Vaughn, and yours truly from the Generations Radio Program. You'll enjoy outdoor activities, training sessions like wilderness first aid, mountain survival, blood tracking, as well as sports activities, swimming, high ropes course, rock climbing walls, kayaking, and hiking in the beautiful Colorado Rockies. It all happens September 3rd to the 6th at the most fabulous retreat center in the Colorado Rockies. Register today for our Father-Son Retreat at ColoradoFatherSon.com. That's ColoradoFatherSon.com.
This is how it read. It said that brave engineer that has run all 97 is lying down in Danville dead. He was going down a grade, making 90 miles an hour, when a whistle broke into a scream. He was found in the wreck with his hand on the throttle, scalded to death by the steam.
All right, there it is. Wreck of the old 97. This wreck? Wasn't the 97, though.
No.
This is the Amtrak. I don't know what number it was, but that's pretty much where America is heading, according to the metaphor that we applied to this story, because...
Yeah, it's the wreck of the Supreme Court 2015 is what it is.
That's right. And the engineer that was evidently right in the center of this wreck was a homosexual activist by the name of Brandon Bastian.
He wasn't scalded to death, but he's aflame.
Yep.
Yes, he is.
And, you know, if this had been some taxpayer guy, if this had been a pro-lifer, you know, Randall Terry had to get a day job going, Chuck Baldwin from the Taxpayers Party.
Yep.
If it had been one of those.
Mark Harrington, good friend of mine from Created Equal.
Yeah, I'm guessing we would have heard about this story. This story.
Randy Alcorn.
This story appears on gotnews.com. I never heard of them. And some homosexual site out there. That's where we've pulled off this data. So I don't know how many people know that the guy who was the engineer on this train that went, 104 miles per hour around a 50 mile per hour bend and killed 7 or 8 people was a homosexual activist. And I think this is instructive because the nation itself is heading off the tracks. Here's another.
It's a runaway train. How do you stop a runaway train? You don't.
Here's an important study. Record high 60% of Americans support same-sex marriage. And if you look at that Gallup poll, they've been doing year by year up to 2015. We're talking exponential increase of the people. And we're not talking about millennials here. At one point, remember, we used to say 60% of millennials are in favor of homosexual marriage. This is 60% of Americans.
The
vast majority of Americans are in favor of the Neuronic agenda. It's incredible.
But you know why?
How much force these social leaders and cultural leaders and political leaders have pressed into this issue. And evidently, the nation is following. The nation is on the train. And they are following the cultural leaders, most of whom are homosexuals, or at least in enthusiastic support of homosexuality.
Yeah. Educational system has won. The media has won. They have won the argument. So they don't have to be radical anymore. They just need to be the average person on the street, and we have to accept them. We have to accept their lifestyle. I can't help it, Kevin. You know, you need to accept me. I was born an embezzler. I can't help it. I have to steal. I can't help it. I'm a born mass murderer. I gotta kill. We wouldn't accept that with any other sin,
no. But
we have redefined sin. We've allowed the homosexual radicals to redefine the terms, and Christians have followed along.
And Americans have abandoned God's principles of sexuality a long time ago.
Yep.
Think about no-fault divorce. Think about the rise in pornography. Pornographic addictions,
what was that,
all the rest.
What was that first sitcom where Billy Crystal played a homosexual? He played his...
Yes, it was in the 1970s.
Yes. Way back then.
You know, 20 years ago would have been what, 1995. In 1995, only 27% of Americans backed homosexual marriage. It's only 27%. In 2011, it was 53%, so it doubled in 15 years. Now it's up to 60%. Now, 7% increase, Bill, 7% increase
in
just the last 4 years. 7% increase. That means 21 million Americans have been convinced that homosexual marriage is a good thing in just the last 4 years. We are on the train. We aren't going 140 miles per hour. We're going 340 miles per hour now around a 50-mile-per-hour bend.
No. There's no trestle. The trestle is out.
Trestle is out.
And we're headed into the canyon. You know, Kevin, I've told you this before, but at Worldview Academy, at our leadership camps, we're dealing with students who are Christians, okay? They don't come to camp to get saved. They come to camp to learn how to be leaders. Many of them, the vast majority, are homeschool students. And in the past several years, past 4 years, I'd say, I've had more and more difficulty in addressing this issue because they are confused about this issue of same-sex marriage. They think, like the rest of the culture does, that homosexuals should have a right to get married. I'm finding a growing number, and again, these are homeschool students who are confused as to how to address this biblically. Because we've allowed the culture to redefine the terms, and we've abandoned a biblical worldview.
Bill, almost every other sitcom is all about homosexuality, refers to it, bows the knee before the altar of homosexual marriage. The culture has adopted this thing big time. And that's how you convince 21 million people in 4 years. That's impressive. That's a massive apostasy. And, of course, began with Jeremy Bentham in the latter part of the 1700s. He wrote a book on bringing back the Greek vision of homosexuality and pedophilia, by the way, into the modern world. He was lamenting the fact that homosexual experiences only happened once or twice in 100 years in Amsterdam at that time, in the 1790s. Lamenting the fact that it only happened once or twice every 100 years. He says, we've got to bring this back. We got to bring back the Greek vision for pedophilia and homosexuality. Now, of course, he wrote the book under a pseudonym, but we now know it's Jeremy Bentham that wrote the book. And friends, if you want to know the story of how in the world we have achieved this level of apostasy in the last 200 years, you need to get a copy of my book, Apostate and Destroy the Christian West. Here's one more stat that just shocked me. 61% of Americans would like a homosexual president, and only 52% would like to see somebody like Huckabee, an evangelical, elected as president of the United States.
Where is this survey? Who did this survey?
I can't remember. It's a new poll.
That's a bit frightening. I really have a difficult time accepting that one.
Okay.
I really do, but it's
okay.
Stunning. That
well,
is 60% stunning.
Of Americans support.
Yep.
Homosexual marriage. Why wouldn't they vote for a homosexual president?
Here's what I'm saying. When you get a call and you're polled, you don't want to sound like the radical nutcase. And so what you do is you just state the party line, even though you wouldn't vote that way. Do you think that's a possibility that they are saying one thing, But when they go into the voting booth, they would vote a different way.
The word evangelical is a curse word.
It is.
To a prison ear. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
The minute they hear evangelical, they
right.
think intolerant,
right.
bigoted, prejudiced.
It's replaced fundamentalist.
Jerk. That's right, it has.
Yeah. It's been equated with fundamentalist.
And the reason for that is because we're in a massive apostasy. When a nation, when 75 to 80% of an entire nation is apostatizing from what used to be the Christian faith, they will be far, far worse on Christians than the cannibals were when the missionaries got there. Okay, friends? That's the way it works. That's why apostasy is so virulent and so powerful in its opposition to the faith. And that's what's happening in the Western world. Get my book, Apostate, the Men Who Destroyed the Christian West, to understand the psychology of what's going on out there. Okay, now, I talked about America, the Western world, going off the deep end and flying off the trestle at 240 miles an hour. It is happening economically, as it turns out. Really interesting stuff. Vanity Fair magazine, don't recommend it necessarily, but here's an article that really just capitalizes on a number of articles that have come out since
you get
November
a subscription
of last
because
year.
You don't want your listeners to have to get a subscription. You read it so that they don't have to, right?
Yeah, I just found this article online.
Yeah.
Anyway, this is an article that's been repeated several times. Forbes magazine picked it up, and I think it was November of last year. And I haven't referred to it, but I think it's important to refer to it because the American empire just collapsed. And I realize we forgot to cover this, but I think some news sources need to point this out. The great American empire, it just collapsed in November of last year. So. Just so we, you know, newsflash, America collapsed. Okay, on to other news.
Excuse me?
America collapsed.
Excuse me, wait.
America was,
back up a minute here.
America has been the most powerful empire economically on Earth, Bill, since 1870. They became the economic force. Britain took it from the French in the late 1700s, 1790, during the Napoleon Wars. Britain took it from France. Britain became the most powerful empire, most economic blessed empire on earth, between roughly 1790 and 1870. From 1870 onwards, it was America. America was the strongest nation, the richest nation, the most economically blessed nation on planet Earth, my friends, from 1870 to November of 2014.
Yeah. In fact, the article compares this decline to the decline and fall of the Roman Empire by yes. Edward Gibbons.
Yep. Without fanfare, indeed with some misgivings about its new status, this is the Vanity Fair article, China has just overtaken the United States as the world's largest economy. This is and should be a wake-up call, but not the kind most Americans would imagine. And then the article goes on. But a couple of years ago, 3-4 years ago, number one, the most prosperous nation, most economically blessed nation in the world, was the United States. Number two was Japan. Number three was China. That shifted. Japan shifted to three, and China went to two about 2 years ago. And we covered that on this program. But as of November of last year, friends, it is now China's number one, United States is number two, and Japan is number three. By the way, the United States and Japan are some of the largest debtor nations on Earth, and we'll get to that if we have a moment towards the end of the program. But the point is that in the 1790s, Great Britain became the world dominant power. In the 1870s, America surpassed England as the world dominant economic power. After that, America continued to grow. Now, as of 1950, Bill, this is important. I want you to understand how America grew in economic strength after World War II. In 1950, America, as the GDP, took up 7% of the gross world product. Okay? So you have 93% of the world economic product is made up by the rest of the world. 7% of it is made up by the United States.
And then I was born.
And then you were born.
Yeah.
And after you were born, 1980, America made up 15% of the gross world product. That was when Ronald Reagan was elected president of the United States. Now we're up to 15% of the gross world product as of 1980. 2005, America peaked at 30% of the gross world product. 30% of the gross world product. And since then, since the last recession, we've been heading down. And we have not recovered from the last recession. We are now at 22% of the gross world product. And we are heading down. We are dropping like a rock. Can you say goodbye? Can you say it's over? Can you say RIP, rest in peace? Can we bury the American economic force and say, it was a great attempt. It's like France. It's like Spain, the empires that dominated the world politically, economically, and militarily in the 1500s, 1600s, and 1700s. But now it's about gone. Here's a University of Chicago study I found this afternoon. It was done in 2005, and it's the National Opinion Research Center, and University of Chicago picked it up. And at the very zenith of American power, here's the point at which we're making 30% of the gross world product. Okay, 2005 under GW, we are at the pinnacle of success after 130 years of building the biggest empire on planet Earth, 2005, the National Opinion Research Center does a survey. And it's surveying the most proud nations in the world. And among the 33 nations surveyed, guess who showed up on top? The United States was the nation with a leading score in pride over their specific accomplishments. America was the proudest nation on Earth in 2005.
Now, I remember something about pride and a fall and going before.
There's something like that. The number two nation was Venezuela. Okay. So I thought to myself, America's coming down. What's happening with Venezuela? So I do a Google of Venezuela economy. Okay. First article, you do it right now. Venezuela economy. Okay.
It's a tanker.
They are the second most proud nation on Earth in 2005. You do a search on it right now. I kid you not. Why Venezuela is the world's worst performing economy. Here's how it goes. By many measures, Venezuela's economy is the most sickly in the world, from the value of its currency sinking to its inflation scorching and GDP shrinking. Venezuela ranks at or near the bottom of just about every important financial indicator out there, performing worse even than Argentina, Greece, or Ukraine. Okay, now, pride in 2006, fall in 2015. You get it? Let's go over that one more time.
Okay.
Pride in 2006.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Let's move ahead.
I'm seeing a pattern.
Fall in 2015.
Okay.
Okay, now, what becomes before what?
Run it by me again.
Okay, the pride shows up in 2005.
Pride.
Proudest nations in the world, United States, Venezuela.
Yeah.
Okay. The fall appears in 2015. Okay, so what comes before what?
Oh, my math.
Quiz time. You can do this, Bill.
Good. I don't like pressure.
Go.
Oh, I'm so proud of where I am.
Go.
Pride.
Pride cometh before destruction and a haughty spirit before fall. You got it. You know, we attended a graduation recently, and I'm not going to get specific on the graduation, but my wife commented on something at the end. She said, you know, almost everybody, I don't know if there were any exceptions. She says, you know, almost everybody was proud of their son or their daughter. And I did a program on this about 2 years ago, and it was called I'm Not Proud of My Son.
And there's a difference.
There's a slight difference.
There's a difference.
However, it's to be a little more accurate, we don't say that homosexuals are gay. You follow me?
Yeah.
We say homosexuals are homosexuals.
Right.
We say we're happy with our sons.
But they have gay pride, right?
They do. They have a lot of pride.
Yeah.
Yeah, and that's another problem.
That's another problem right there.
We could talk about that too. Yeah. But you know what? We ought to say we're happy with our children. We're blessed. We're thankful. We have no greater joy.
I'm pleased. I'm pleased
walking
with,
in the faith. Yeah, that's right.
I'm pleased
that's
with my children.
But I think pride is a national character flaw, Bill. And you know, if there's theological pride in your churches, if there is pride concerning what you know or who you are, if there's pride concerning your accomplishments and what your kids have done, if you're gaining pride, national pride, pride comes before destruction, haughty spirit before a fall. Bill, I think probably America is the proudest nation on earth. I've been to other nations that come back to the States, and a lot of humble people. Of course, a lot of times poverty is associated with humility.
Right.
But I come back to the States, inevitably, I'm dealing with so much more pride and so much harder to deal with relationships and to interact with people. Even our bureaucrats seem prouder sometimes than bureaucrats from other countries.
Not service-oriented. And there's this entitlement mentality that goes along with the pride mentality. Because I am an American, I deserve this.
Mm-hmm.
We deserve this. We want this, therefore we should have this. And that is not the mentality that made this nation great. Mm-hmm. It was service to others. Mm-hmm. It was the fear of the Lord.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I'm not talking that everybody in this nation was a Christian, okay? Yeah. That's never been the case. In fact, there have been many times when there were down times in this nation when people thought we would never survive. I mean, there was drunkenness, there was licentiousness that was run rampant in the late 1800s, and it was Christians who turned it around because they began to proclaim truth and grace. And that's what Christians need to do today. They need to humbly get on their knees and seek God's face and seek his favor and then stand and speak boldly, not proudly, but boldly, the word of God.
And as G.K. Chesterton said, he was interviewed by London Times. They're asking important writers, what is the problem with the world? He wrote back into the editor, "Dear London Times, I am sincerely yours, G.K. Chesterton."
Yes.
We have found the enemy.
He is us.
That's right. And, you know, until we realize that we ourselves have the core sin issues that are shared by those who are dealing with the sin of homosexuality, we have the same core lust issues. We have the same core pride issues as those who march in the gay pride marches. They celebrate their lust and they celebrate their pride, but oftentimes we hide our pride and we hide our lust and our little porn thing in the basement.
I'm humble and I'm proud of it.
So yeah, or that.
Yeah.
So friends, we have found the enemy. It is us. If we're not on our face before God with the night side by side with Republicans saying, "God, have mercy on me, a sinner." If we're not beating on our breast and saying we are undeserving, but God have mercy on us. We are totally messed up, but we really, really need you to save us by the blood of Jesus. Then, friends, we're just going to be going downhill, down the track, running off that train track at 250 miles per hour with the rest of them. Repent, Jesus said, or you will likewise perish. That's a lesson that I think we need to take home on this edition of the Generations Radio broadcast. You can interact with the program by emailing me directly to host@kevinswanson.com. If you'd like to support the program, please do so at our website. This is our month to fundraise, and we're hoping to pull together 150 sponsors. I think we're only at about 25 right now, Bill, but we'd like to get a total of 150 sponsors over the next couple of weeks to get behind our program and keep us on the air for the next year. If you'd like to provide $10 a month or $20 a month or $100 a month to keep us going, please do so at our website. Just go to generationswithvision.com and click on donate. This is Kevin Swanson inviting you back again next time as we continue to lay down a vision for the next generation.